Okay.
We are joined by Scott Petrick of the Chronicle Telegram, who covers the Browns. Good morning, Scott.
Hey, guys.
For those of us in most of Northeast Ohio and that didn't pay too close attention to most of yesterday's game, since you're the one that got paid to watch that, I don't know, Craig, you had a question? I couldn't think of one for 24 hours. I kept trying to figure out what I wanted to ask Scott today.
Well,
is it really as bad as it looks, I guess, is maybe a qualifying statement.
Yeah, that covers a lot. yeah, I think yesterday it was. You know, we've seen some signs of progress throughout the 0-8 start. Yesterday we did not see a whole lot. You know, Cody Kessler, the quarterback, played okay. Corey Coleman, the rookie receiver, came back and caught three passes. Terrell Pryor caught a touchdown. But overall, you just haven't seen the improvement that you need to see from a young team and a team that you knew was going to struggle. But, you know, I thought we saw early signs of the team getting better, and then it's kind of stagnated. And yesterday we just saw a Cowboys team that's headed for the playoffs versus a Browns team that is going to do all it can not to go 0-16.
This is a team that started the year with sort of a whole new style, a new approach to drafting, to keeping players. Here we are. The numbers don't lie. What analytic machine are they putting these numbers into now to come up with something better than what we see?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think like I said, we knew it was going to be a difficult season. You know, they're the youngest team in the league. They've had all those quarterback issues. They've had other injuries kind of across the roster. But where the overall concern to me is, you know, they drafted 14 guys in April. And, you know, the new front office talked about rebuilding through the draft. And it's a sound idea, but you have to execute it by picking the right players. We just haven't seen enough from this huge draft class to think that they got it right. You know, you could say, okay, Cody Kessler, the quarterback, has been better than expected, and that's true. And he's going to have the last 7 weeks, assuming he stays healthy, to prove whether or not he's a long-term answer at quarterback. But then you look at all the other draft picks, and okay, Carl Nassib, the defensive end, has been okay when he's healthy. He's shown a little bit. And Emmanuel Ogbo, the rookie linebacker, has come on a little bit. But we haven't seen anybody really change the team or change games. And that's, I think, worrisome for the team because, you know, the Browns are going to have high draft picks and a bunch of draft picks this year. And if it's the same guys drafting, can you trust them to get it right? And we just haven't seen enough to think that, yeah, they will get it right.
We were playing the Cowboys, and it made me think of the 1-15 Cowboys. Of course, they had Troy Aikman then, right? I mean, that was their franchise quarterback. So maybe there's a big difference in that. But they were able to eventually turn it around and, might I say, bring Super Bowl champions to that team.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You know, and I think at some point Cody Kessler needs to win games, you know, to prove that he can be the long-term answer quarterback. And it's tough when you compare him to fellow rookie Dak Prescott, who's with the Cowboys and has won 7 straight games. You know, there's obviously a difference, and Dak Prescott seems to make more plays and has the ability to throw the ball down the field that maybe Kessler doesn't have. But, you know, I was thinking the same thing about Aikman yesterday. Just because a quarterback struggles as a rookie and doesn't win games doesn't mean he can't be the answer. The same is true with Peyton Manning. I think he went 1-15 in his rookie year. Now, the difference is Aikman and Manning were the first overall picks in the draft. So you trusted that they had everything you needed physically to be your franchise quarterback. And I think that's the issue with Kessler is he doesn't have the biggest arm. He's not the best athlete. So when he also doesn't make the big plays and he loses games, you question whether or not he can be kind of the solution going forward.
Speaking of not number one, but first round draft pick Cam Irving, he's finding more ways to be in games or out of games than any player I've seen, whether it involves just being not put on there or health reasons or whatever, or yesterday. Is that just a sign of frustration for him? Is that kind of representative of the team in a sense?
Yeah, a little bit. It's just weird with Cam. You know, he's been in and out of the lineup with health issues, and, you know, then Hugh Jackson says Friday that you know, we're not sure he can make it at center, and but he's an important part of our future, so we might have to play him at tackle, but we're not ready to decide that yet. So he comes out and has a chance to prove whether or not, you know, he can be a center moving forward, and he gets ejected five plays into the game. You know, it's just a bad look for a guy that, you know, he's in his second season and hasn't done anything, continues to give up big plays, big sacks. So it's just another one of those guys, and that's not this regime. You know, that was the Ray Farmer draft pick. But there's too many guys on the roster that you look at and go, man, he's either a bust or a blown draft pick. Not that that doesn't, you know, it's too early to say Cam Irving is that, but he's headed in that direction. And when you have a roster full of those guys, it just takes so long to fix it and to improve your roster and to rebuild. And that's why the 14 draft picks last year were important. If they miss on X number of those, then it just continues to set you back year after year.
Scott, do you see the same case on the defensive side of the ball?
Well, yeah, the defense is awful, and it's been awful. You know, if you go, you take a kind of a big snapshot of this team, to me the defense is what's letting them down week after week. Even last week in the Jets game, you know, the Browns didn't score until the end of the second half after scoring 20 points in the first half, but the game changed because the defense gave up three straight touchdowns to start the second half. Now, yesterday, the Cowboys scored five touchdowns out of seven true possessions, not counting two kneel downs. That's a terrible percentage. They did whatever they wanted. They ran the ball with Zeke Elliott, another rookie that's having an instant impact for the Cowboys. Dak Prescott threw on play action. The 34-year-old tight end got open whenever he wanted to, and he's not the same player that he used to be, Jason Witten. So they have issues across the board, you know, and it's gotten to the point where the coordinator, Ray Horton, is just grasping at straws. He played everybody he could yesterday on defense. He played a safety that was only been on the team for a couple of weeks, and he played him significant snaps. Nobody's having any kind of impact. Even the new linebacker, Jamie Collins, they traded with the Patriots a week ago. Yeah, he played every snap, and you know, I think it's expecting too much for him to have an instant impact. But the defense is just a disaster, and I'm not sure where or how it's going to get better over the final 7 weeks.
Are they looking to make any changes at all? Is that even an option, or is that just not a realistic thing to do?
I mean, like I said, I mean, they made a trade last week to bring in maybe their most talented player on defense, and then they're playing everybody. They rotated four guys at safety. They had four different guys playing cornerback. I mean, he's trying to do everything he can, Ray Horton. And I think it's a combination of not having the pieces and maybe the scheme's flawed. I mean, I just think there's a bunch of reasons, but for the first team since 1964 to give up at least 25 points in each of the first nine games, they give up 30.6 times. These are huge numbers. They're at the bottom of the league in every category, or just about every category. And that's why it's so hard to win a game, because it's just hard to find an opponent on the schedule. You go, yeah, the Browns are going to hold them to 24 points and give themselves a chance to win. They're going to have to score 35 to probably win a game, and that's asking way too much of your offense.
Well, speaking of opponents, we have the Ravens coming up on a short week on Thursday. Will opponents now sort of, I don't know, discount the Browns in some sense? Maybe they'll not plan as hard, or they're thinking, well, no matter what we do, we'll have a guy open in the end zone eventually.
Well, I think that's a possibility, and you know, I think that's one of the ways the Browns could win a game is if they were overlooked and got off to a great start and managed to hang on, which they've obviously been unable to do so far. But the issue with the Ravens is it's a primetime game, so you know, teams usually get up for those. The Ravens have clawed their way back in the division race, which you know, we all expect the AFC North to have two or three playoff teams, and they'll probably only have one this year because everybody's fighting kind of at 500. So I just don't think you're going to see the Ravens overlook the Browns, especially because the Browns almost beat the Ravens back in week two. It was 25-20, and the Browns were marching at the end to try to win the game. So I don't think this is a great matchup for the Browns, although the Ravens aren't as explosive as other teams, so maybe the Browns can hold them down a little bit.
Yeah, those were the good old days when we almost were beating teams.
Exactly. Remember that?
Oh, boy, we thought that was crazy. What's the mood in the locker room? Where is this going? Is it sort of plateauing? Is it spiraling in a direction? Is it people just kind of bewildered?
Yeah, there's a little bit of everything. I don't think people I don't think the players have kind of gone in the tank yet. Hugh Jackson has done a good job setting a positive tone and encouraging the team. So I think overall, the players continue to play hard. I think they trust Hugh Jackson. But when you get a guy right after the game, you know, they admit how difficult it is. There's some shaking their heads as, man, how has it gotten to be this bad? Why can't we get any of these things solved? And then you have a guy like Chris Kirksey. He's a linebacker. He's one of the nice guys on the team. He's always willing to talk. And he was the first one to come out and say yesterday, we're not going 0-16. It's obviously in these players' heads that, you know what, we have a chance to do something historically awful, and we can't let that happen. And to say that with 7 weeks left, it's kind of what everybody outside the team's been talking about, fans and media, will they go winless? And now you have a player saying we're not going to do that. You can tell the mindset changing a little bit.
Scott, we're past the halfway point now. Is there a team out there that you're really impressed with league-wide?
Well, I'll tell you what. I don't know if Dallas can win a Super Bowl with a rookie quarterback, but they impressed me yesterday. They're a playoff team, and if they get a lead, they are awfully difficult to deal with just because they can run the ball kind of at will with the great offensive line. They have a quarterback who can make plays inside and outside of the pocket. They don't scare you on defense, so I'm not sure they're a Super Bowl contender. But they've been good, and I'll tell you what, Oakland, I liked Oakland a lot coming into the season. I wasn't sure they could overtake Denver and Kansas City in that AFC West, but they beat Denver last night and looked good doing it. They have Derek Carr, quarterback, who would have been my pick instead of Johnny Manziel a couple of years ago. They're a team really on the rise.
That's what Browns fans have to do, find another team to kind of watch to enjoy what football really should be on a Sunday. But and Thursday night football against the Ravens, and then we'll talk again next Monday, Scott. Thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Scott Petrek at the Chronicle Telegram. You can also read him in the Chronicle Telegram or follow him at Scott Petrek on Twitter.